Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart, the Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him. I love his ways. I love his wisdom. The Lord has a remedy for every problem. The enemy, it's hard for him to blindside people who pay attention to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit come to me with something, I learn over the years to pay close attention. It's not just important, it's real important. And when he tell me things in repetition, see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When the Lord tell you something in repetition, he's preparing you to believe him for something great. And we have to adopt his concept and believe him. People don't cooperate with people if they don't believe them. That just don't happen. It never happens. They might do something out of fear, or they may do something, they may feel like they're in danger. They may do something out of fear or curiosity, but people don't continually act on something unless they believe it. Doesn't matter who it is, and people don't believe God. They don't act on what God says unless they believe him. So when the Lord speaks to me in repetition, I say something's up. I know something's up. He's preparing me for a new teaching. He's preparing me for a new assignment or something. Even before I did this broadcast, Heart to Heart, every day, or often, at least often, if not every single day, I remember it as being every day. The Lord would say, people are going to want to hear you. They're going to come and hear you. And I'm like, something's up. Because he's speaking in repetition, saying the same thing. And it helped me to receive a concept that I didn't know how this was going to work. I didn't know how the ministry would work. I had, in my mind, I thought, well, people are going to start calling or something. Now, when I fix cars, I don't advertise, but people call me all the time. And if I can't keep up with the people that my customer base that call me all the time, so there's no real need to advertise. If I advertise, then I'm going to need a building and I'm going to need employees and all these, so there's no real need to advertise. And everything in my life is good the way it is. I can spend more time with my family for a change. And I get to work, at home. And I like that because I can spend more time with my daughter and my wife. My daughter has special needs, so she needs us around. So starting a business that's going to take me away from my family is just not what I want to do. But God has blessed me to be able to broadcast from home. I didn't know he was going to do that. But I had to see. With God, you got to believe him, and you got to stay in faith. And God blessed me. He set me up good. Before all this, he sent me to a wonderful church, a church that trains people. Pastor Jim, Pastor Jim the Third, he said, this is a training house of champions, and he nailed it when he said that, because see, if you're going to do something for God, it's not going to, God give you, whoever God give you to help you, you use their help. Sometimes people don't use the help that God sends. And to keep, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to need encouragement. You're going to need to stay balanced. You're going to need to stay on the right track. You're going to need to hear what the Lord is saying, what he's doing. You're going to need to believe him for every step, everything that he give you to do, you got to believe him. Everything that Jesus did, he believed his Father. And I don't know why people try to get out of believing God. That doesn't make sense. You have to run to his will. Jesus, after he did a hard day's work, he go spend time with his Father. See, you can't have ministry without the prayer room. You got to have communion with God. And that's how it is. And sometimes people give in to doctrine. They give in to compromising ways. You know, I mentioned yesterday a broadcast, and it was called Godly Justice. You know, after Balaam taught Balak how to curse Israel, then Moses had to avenge Israel. And he had to do some unpleasant things. And God gave him a format. Everything was covered. Before they went to battle to avenge Israel, they had to get right with God. They had to repent. They had to be on one accord with God. Now, they wasn't completely on one accord with God, because the soldiers brought back, they left some of the women alive and brought them back, and they were the ones who caused all this trouble. I understand men don't like to kill women, and all the boys, they had to be destroyed, because that was justice. Because God wanted, he didn't want a new problem. He was uprooting weeds. They let Satan blind their heart and mind. And what was God getting rid of? He was getting rid of the leaven of Balaam's doctrine in the eyes of people, and he did it openly. Then the possessions that they brought back, they had to be purified through fire and water. So, and we talked about how sometimes when you get things from people that were wicked, you know, sometimes you hear stories about people that buy antiques and then they have demonic activity. With wickedness, Moses, God saw fit to make a law or a statute that things like that had to be purified. That didn't change. Just because we're in the New Testament and the law is, we fulfill the law, we fulfill the moral law. But the statutes and the things that God told Moses, they're still relevant. I give you another example. And Henry Gruber with Prayer Walk, and the Lord taught him to remit the sins of the land to take back territory from Satan. Whenever somebody gets killed and their blood goes in the ground, or anywhere somebody has an accident, you know, and die, even though they're in a car, let's say their blood don't go in the ground, but they die in that spot. Well, the enemy will set up camps there and wrecks will keep happening. Now, this has been proven, because Henry Gruber said people told him there's always a wreck on that street. And he went and walked that ground. Now, the Lord led him there. He'd walk it and remit the sins of that land and break the covenant of death. Now, you have to go back. I ordered his book. And when I get it, I have the revelation that he had, because he wrote about it and how he learned it. And he didn't set out to learn. He didn't know it existed. And the Lord told him to remit. He was in England. I think it was England or London. I forgot the city. And the Lord told him to remit the sins of that, the land where this building was. And he said, Lord, what am I doing when I remit the sins of a place? I'm asking you to forgive people that are not repenting. And the Lord taught him something. He said, when you remit the sins of people that are not repenting, you're lifting the burden of sin off them so that they can reach out for salvation. And also the covenant of death. He would break the covenant of death. Now, the covenant of death, that happened centuries ahead before us. Satan, through people who he would deceive and, you know, just evil men, shamans, whatever, they would make a covenant of death for whatever reason. And that would be Satan's territory or war. And people would, their blood would go on the ground. Well, when he would, and it would make a covenant with death. I know it may sound weird, but bear with me. When he said, the Lord told him what happened in that building. In that building, they were executing people. And I think it was unjustly also. But in World War II, a German bomb blew that building up. Or it hit, you know, that was that place had a covenant of death, and he remitted the sins there. Now, if you listen to his testimonies, you get a chance to learn something you may not know. He would remit the sins of a place and minister the word, and gang activity would stop, murder would stop, car wrecks would stop. One of the most amazing was a tunnel in Japan. He couldn't walk the tunnel because it was illegal to walk in there and too dangerous. So he found out where the camera, they had cameras. See, the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. He was persistent enough to find where the office was where the cameras were, because when the wreck happens, they immediately call the ambulance and the paramedics, you know, the police, everybody. And sometimes the coroner, God forbid, but they would. He went in that room and he laid hands on each camera and remitted the sins. They hated their jobs because the people that watched the cameras, because they didn't like to see, they saw people get killed, they saw children get crushed, they saw all this stuff. They were very desperate for help, and they said, you can pray over the cameras. They were happy that he came, and he laid hands on each camera, and the wreck stopped. He broke the covenant of death over that land. See, we have authority, and it works in ways you may not know. But when you receive revelation from God, you enter into things that you didn't know were possible. Now, when you handle revelation, you have to also be patient with people. What did it take for you to receive this revelation? As far-fetched as it can sound, what did it take for you to receive it? All right, when you share a revelation to somebody and the Lord didn't, he's dealing with them on something else. So he's got you doing this. He's got them doing something else. They're full of revelation too. It's just different. So if they don't receive the revelation that God has given you, you got to be patient with them. Love them anyway. Now, if they're curious, now when I listened to Henry Groover, I heard my father's voice in his speech, and I became a student. And then I found out something else. I knew he was telling the truth, because that was a time in my life that my first assignment, other than preaching, was the good newsletter. It was a simple good newsletter, simple letter. I would write a 1 or 2 page word from the Lord and pass it out in the neighborhood. I made it nice. It looked good. You know, it was well done, typed out. It was neat, had a heading on it and everything. And I'd make 1,000 copies, and it took me a month to pass them all out and not do that. But that was an assignment. Not just a good idea. But I found out I was prayer walking, because the day I was going to pass out the first ones, it started raining and all the paper would have got wet. So I didn't do it. And I looked out the window and I saw the Mormons on the bicycles. I said, now I got mad because they out there doing their works that shouldn't be done. And I'm not out there doing my work that should be done. So I got mad at the enemy, because they were spreading a doctrine that won't work. And they meant well, I know that, but it won't work. It's about like the Jehovah's Witnesses. That won't work either, because you got to have Christ for salvation. And his blood washes your sins away. They believe that he was, they don't believe he was the Son of God. Nevertheless, I wanted to do something because I wanted to get my job done. I wanted to be about my Father's business like Jesus. Now, and I'm still that way. So what can I do? I said, I'm going to do something, not just sit here waiting on the rain to stop. It's too wet to do it. It would have ruined everything. So I started praying over the neighborhood. I started praying over the assignment. And I started believing God for my protection, taking authority over Satan so that he couldn't hinder, so that he couldn't hinder people that would get the news, the good newsletters. And he couldn't start fights, things like that. And so the next week, I began to pass out those letters. And I didn't realize it, but all the gunfights stopped. That broke the covenant with death. I didn't know that the gunfights had stopped. It took almost a year. I started in January. In November, I heard a gunshot. And then I realized, I have not been hearing gunshots, and I had to think back. And I stopped hearing gunshots the first week I started the good newsletter. We had them so frequent, it was easy to remember the last one. In those days, anyway. But I remember I had not heard not one gunfight since I began the broadcast. And then a couple of weeks went by and I told Toby about it. He said, oh, that was me. I shot in the air. I bought a new Tech 9 and I shot in the air. And then the police came and took it from me. And I live right next door to a crack house. Now, isn't it ironic? The week you start prayer walking and passing out, obeying God, passing out newsletters, all the gunfights stop. And they continue to stop. The day I left with the last load, the gunfight broke out. And then three or four years later, after I came back, after I went through a divorce and I came back and I lived in the house that never sold. But there were no gunfights after that. I lived there 3 years after that. So, listen, the things that happen in our lives, you know, as we obey God, it is remarkable. As we obey Him, He's involved. The revelation that God give you, it shouldn't be isolated, and it won't be if you're faithful, because you're going to alert people to greater things. Now, Henry, I was listening to Henry Groover about prayer walking, and I wanted to learn that revelation. And he had a scripture. He went, I think it was in Leviticus. And I don't have it with me. I didn't know the Lord was going to have me talking about this. But I wrote down the scriptures that when blood was spilled on the ground, I did highlight it. I will look for it. But whenever blood was spilled on the ground, the priest would come and remit the sins of the blood that was spilled. Whether it was, even if it was innocent, they would bless the ground again. I didn't know that was in there. I may have read over it. I don't remember when I read over it, because I listen to the word all the time. But sometimes you can read over something wonderful and not connect the dots, and I didn't. There's so much in here that I read over and I didn't connect the dots to it. I didn't know the power of it. There's a lot in here that I didn't know about. And so when you follow God, you're going to run into things that sometimes even mainstream people didn't do it. Now, this is the thing. Don't get mad at mainstream preachers. They're doing what they're supposed to do, hopefully anyway. And most time they're doing a good job. But there's a lot of revelation. See, for what you have to do and deal with, you have revelation for that. But because people have gotten on board with receiving the Holy Spirit and learning to follow through with the Holy Spirit, people are going to be introduced to greater revelation that was already there and should have been practiced a long time ago. But it was lost in the dark ages and the will of man not following God. When people start following God, a lot of things are going to be activated that is not activated. And it's going to cause a prosperity to happen that have not happened. It's going to be different. It's going to be better. All this is in obeying God. There's no magic formula to follow. You just obey God, period. It's as simple as that. Whatever he's giving you, ask him questions by all means. How in the world can a person learn something and receive revelation if they don't ask questions? You have to ask questions. You have to get answers. There are things that's going to remain unclear if you don't. That doesn't need to happen. And I want everything that God has for me, I want to use it. I want to get in on it. I want to understand it. I want to know it. The anointing that God gives us and the office God gives, it's a grace. The office that he gives you is a grace. The anointing is a grace, just a grace. You couldn't give it to yourself. You couldn't deserve it and you can't earn it. It's a grace. It's just a gift. Use it to serve man. That's what it's for. The anointing is to help us serve man in the name of the Lord. And the definition, it's a sanction. You're set apart for this. A sanction is a setting apart. It's a sanction that gives. It gives you ability. Now the Lord said a man or a woman. That denotes a maturity. You have to be mature. You have to be a covenant keeper. So if he anoints you at all, you are a covenant keeper, or you have the ability to, you've earned God's trust enough to him to give you the anointing. Now, he give it to you in measure. How faithful are you with it? How determined are you with it? How much do you really want it? Right, so he give it to you in measure. But it grows. It's unlimited. In other words, if he give it to you on a small measure right now, it's enough to get started with. You were kind of half-hearted, but you were somewhat faithful. You did pray for people and you care about doing right. You know, you earned his trust enough for him to give you the anointing in the first place. Now I said you can't earn it, but when you yield to the Lord and he designed you for something, when you reach the stage of maturity, then he'll reveal to you what he has for you. He'll give it to you. And that, you know, is dangerous to have an anointing if you're disobedient. So when it's not dangerous, he'll give you the anointing. It'd be dangerous for you to have to be anointed and be unfaithful. So when you have to give an account for the things that God give you. This is known in the parable of the talents. If he gave you much, you should, you do something with it. Don't hide it. Don't go and bury it. You're gonna get in trouble with God if you go and bury it in the sand, if you go hide it somewhere and don't use it. When you give an account for God, when you stand, ooh man, I don't want to be in the presence of God off track. One day, when I stand before him and give an account of all this stuff I do, I think about that. And I say, Lord, forgive me for stupid stuff I've done, dumb stuff, and, things I shouldn't be doing or whatever it is. I say, and help me hate it. I think about that today. I don't want to wait and be standing in his presence and not have been a fool all my life. No, that doesn't, I've done a lot of foolish things. I've done things that I wish I didn't. And you know, haphazard stuff, just things that this I could have done better. I could have used more wisdom. And God loved me. He don't throw it in my face. But I said, Lord, whatever, when I stand before you, everybody want to hear him say, well done. But I'm going to tell you this. He's going to tell the truth. And I know this. So everything that's not like him, it's got to go. Why not clean your house now? And this is another reason I say that. Everything that's not like God in my life got to go. Now, there's nothing that I know of, but there are things in my blind spot that I don't know. I found things in my blind spot. In the last broadcast we did, I talked about how the Lord said, never worry about money in my sight, in my presence. He said, never worry about money in my presence. And I live in his presence. And that means don't ever worry about money. And the concept of worrying about money, I drove it out. It was in my blind spot. I didn't mean to be that way. That was an undealt with habit that I picked up along the way of life. You know, when you think about my background, being a mechanic, mechanic work can be very difficult. When I worked at my business, the first business I had, a lot of things had to happen before I got paid. I want to explain it so it'll give you an idea. I had to get up out of my comfortable bed and go, and my customer would call me. I go look at their car. I have to figure out what the problem was. Then I had to fix it. And if a bolt broke, because some of those old GM cars, they had small bolts at the water pump, and the bolts would rust and break. And almost every time you do a water pump, you had to deal with a broken bolt. Then you have to get something and get it out. Sometimes the drill bit would break. And you had to get the drill bit and the broken bolt out. And I learned how to do it. Very painstaking. I learned it. I did it. And then when I get paid, I finish up. Sometimes people will say, well, I don't have all the money. Okay, I had to get paid. So when I got paid, then the car had to stay fixed. People would look in the newspaper, AutoZone opened up in 87, and that caused me a lot of problems. They sold some of the cheapest, it was Auto Shack. They sold cheap starters, cheap alternators, everything they sold was dirt cheap. And it was cheap. And people would want those old sorry parts. They were sorry back then. They're better now, but being fair to AutoZone, but they were terrible parts back in those days. And then everybody wanted a deal, so they'd be there, and then you had to give them all this information. And then when that junk would tear up, you take the parts back, and your ticket fade. And you know it was just a disaster. And I eventually stopped fooling with parts from AutoZone. But back then, I just, whatever my customers wanted, I'd do it. But nevertheless, once I get paid, the car had to stay fixed, and if something went wrong and it was something I did, I would stand behind it. So just because I get paid don't mean that I'm out of the woods. I guarantee my work. And I gained a lot of rapport with my customers, because if they call me back, some mechanics don't go back. They just forget it. They don't honor their work. I always did. And sometimes it wasn't even my fault. But I got my customers running. And they appreciate it. And these were people that didn't have much to work with. I did a lot of things. I went to junkyards for people to buy things that, you know, some things you don't buy at a junkyard, but some parts you can get, and it's all right. and to help people get on their feet so they could get, they had to decide whether to eat or pay me. And I knew this, so I would help. Some people would try to get over on you. I helped a lot of people. But I went through a lot just to make enough money. And then I had to pay my bills. And I paid them. I was able to pay bills. I didn't have to go big and ask mama to help me. And God bless me. But I did a lot just to get paid. In my first business, I worked that business 8 years. Then I got a shop, worked it 2 years. Then I started working for Besma. Now, so as the years went by, I got better and better. I got my skill set got better. I made fewer mistakes. And you make mistakes too. Mechanics make mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. But I stuck with the job until I got it straight. Then I learned that over time, I learned to do things in sets. If I'm taking off a water pump, don't put old parts back up. You know, get a new belt, new hose, everything. When people were very poor, they just want you to fix that one thing. That's all they have money for. But that wouldn't last because the belt would break. You know, let's just fix it all and be done with it. In the latter years, that's how I do. Some mechanics don't do that. I brought all this up to share this. Through all of that, I picked up something in my background. Worry. I would always be concerned about how this is going to turn out.